Our next speaker is Valid. So he's from University of Minnesota, right? So he's going to talk about physiological and genetic analysis of water-saving trees in wheat, links between root hydraulics and development.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for being here. So this work is essentially from the PhD of work of one of my students, Rémi Chopac, who did a tremendous job, and it's a synthesis of his work on this issue of the relationship between shoot, root hydraulics, and development in determining water-saving traits in wheat. So what do we mean by water saving in our work? So these are conservative traits which lead to enhanced availability of stored soil moisture during the very critical grain filling phase. And there are large numbers of examples in the literature. One of the three most telling ones is the adjustment of leaf area to minimize evapotranspiration. The second one is the early stomata closure in response to the soil drying cycle. And the third one, and this would be the focus of our talk today, is the reducing of the transpiration loss in response to evaporative demand. There was a very nice talk yesterday by Charlie Messina about the Aquamax corn genotype, which involved this trait. And the cool thing about these three types of traits is that they were validated through crop models, and also they were found to exist in vivo and were used as a base to understand, to improve drought tolerance. So back to this reducing transpiration loss. So we characterized, actually Rémi did the job, transpiration response to increasing vapor pressure deficit. There was a talk this morning about VPD. I want to expand on that. So this is transpiration normalized by hot plant leaf area. This is vapor pressure deficit. This is very humid air. This is very dry air. Different symbols represent different experiments. And obviously, these are different genotypes. And the numbers here represent the slopes, the first slopes for each of those genotypes. And I wanted to draw your attention to this guy here called RAC875, which has the lowest slope. And this genotype comes from Australia, and it's notoriously drought tolerant. It's basically one of their champions. And we already see that this guy is a water-saving genotype. This was done, obviously, under well water conditions. We only changed the VPD here. So the other thing that Rémi found when doing those analyses is that this first slope I showed you was found to be highly correlated with the soil moisture content at which transpiration started to decrease during a dry down experiment. And the very interesting thing is that this RAC875 was found to be water saving in this as well. So this is basically the message here is that this genotype is very likely a water-saving genotype, which results in it being drought-tolerant, especially in the terminal drought-prone environments of southern Australia. So this is a good start. The next thing for us is to, before delving into identifying the physiology and the genetics of this, we wanted to make sure that the trait is robust and constitutive. So we did a kind of complicated experiment. Basically, we grew this genotype along with others in different warming environments in side growth chambers for 22 days. At the end of those periods, we characterized transpiration response to VPD. All those experiments were done in wild water conditions. We just changed the temperature regime. So this is the VPD during the growth period. The thickness here represents changes in differences in nighttime temperatures. So the key take-home message here is that our champion here, RAC875, kept exactly the same slope, regardless of the growth environment, which means that this trait would be valid also in future warming environments. And so that, And this is another guy, Drysdale, Drought-Oriented Line in Australia as well, but it seems to have changed its behavior dependently on the growth environment. It shifted from water stay to actually a risk taker. So this was told us that this is a nice bet to try to investigate to see what's behind this this water saving behavior. So the three questions of the following investigations were what is the basis of this water saving behavior of this genotype? Is there genetic control of transpiration response to VPD? And a very important thing for us, which to what extent phenology and development are involved in water saving. Victor Sadras made this point yesterday about the importance of phenotypic plasticity in determining those traits, and I think this is one of the ways to address those types of questions. So very quickly, our hypothesis with respect to the first question is that this water saving behavior results from a hydraulic limitation that comes from the roots. One of the reasons we directly thought about the roots is that we did many experiments that discarded the involvement of leaf hydraulics, and also this major publication by Richards and Pissura in 1989, which showed that they were able to enhance drought tolerance of wheat in the South Australian conditions by reducing metaxyme diameter in the central roots from 65 micrometers to less than 55, which was correlated to an increase in yield of up to 11% over 5 years. So long story short, we looked at the similar roots of this champion and a Czech cultivar. This was the type of images that we had. And sure enough, there were differences between, in terms of central metaxyme diameters between both genotypes in a way that is consistent with this genotype being water saving. We noted also other differences, among which the differences in the endodermis, and I will tell you later about why this might be relevant for us. And the cool thing is that this observation was confirmed in an independent study, so it's always good for us to have those findings confirmed, because roots are very variable, and it could have been a fluke. Another way was to look at the whole root system hydraulic conductivity, and there was obviously a very strong difference between both genotypes, again in a way that was consistent with the water-saving behavior of RAC 875. And on top of that, we had several independent experiments, which we won't talk about today, which kind of pointed to the potential involvement in root aquaporins in the water uptake, specifically this genotype would have less aquaporins and in its roots, and therefore have a higher radial resistance to water flow as well. So, as I told you, the next question would be, so we kind of here figured out the basis of the water saving behavior of the genotype, and the next step would be to kind of find the genetic basis. As many of you know, it's very hard to phenotype roots, so we stuck with the initial phenotype, which was transpiration response to VPD, and we were able to phenotype those response curves for a mapping population that resulted from a cross between the Czech cultivar and the drought-tolerant one. These were the regressions that we observed. So we measured also a variety of other traits, whole plant leaf area, specifically feria, somatic densities on both sides of the leaves, nocturnal transpiration, which in our case was significant, and other things. And we had decent heritabilities from 0.6 to 0.9. So back to the third point about development and phenology, one thing I wanted to share with you today is that we found that the phenology genes had a significant effect on our traits. The arrows here represent the slope, which is the trait of interest in this talk. And this figure represents the average change in trait mean when the genotype carrying the RAC875 allele carries that allele in those loci. So there are differences between the phenology genes, and there are differences dependently on the traits as well. So for some traits, you have an increase. For others, a decrease, and some of those traits are absolutely not sensitive to those phenology genes. So back to the Q-tail analysis, we identified a total of 68 Q-tail, 6 for the slope, which is less than we expected. But nevertheless, the key message here is that we identified a very The potentially robust QTL here, which single-handedly explained more than 25% of the genetic variability. So the other thing here is that, here we're supposed to see a figure that is not there. So you have to imagine like the chromosome and then the Wald statistics, and then a peak, a very narrow one, and that's very lucky for us because we found a peak, which was mapped to 72 genes underneath, and here it was just an exercise. Our goal was not to find the magic gene, it was rather kind of validate our physiological hypothesis by looking at the putative function of those genes. So, long story short, we narrowed down the number of genes that are really related to drought tolerance based on their annotation to 12. And 9 of these were found in an independent RNA-seq experiment to be very preferentially expressed in the roots, independently of the phenology, on an independent cultivar under similarly well-worn conditions. So when you look at those 9 genes among the 12 that were related to drought tolerance, you look here, they are related to root development, xylem pattern formation, root development, and the others are related to response to water deprivation, osmotic stress, etc. So this kind of validated for us the idea of that root hydraulics that are dependent on root anatomy traits such as xylem development are involved in transpiration somehow. The conclusions to those experiments, we think we have shown that there is a link between shoot transpiration and root hydraulic traits, that there is a root-based origin of the water-saving behavior of at least some drought-tolerant Australian wheat cultivars, and there is a genetic evidence of developmental control of transpiration-related traits. One of those examples, again, consists of the involvement of xylem development and also the influence of PPD genes. So this work obviously is the result of very solid work of those graduate students, Rémi Chopac, Elodie Clavry, Elisabeth Majerus, and Diego Wortley, whom I thank very much. Also, the RNA-seq experiments and the genetic material was kindly provided by the ACPFG, and Julian Taylor and Delphine Fleury were instrumental in that as well. There was some help from the INRA, from Boris Baron, and from Tom Sinclair from North Carolina State University. So, again, thank you for being here, and I'm open to all of your questions. Was how much water is being saved. The quick answer to that is that we don't know. We're trying to do some modeling to kind of have an estimation of how much water is being saved. Obviously, this depends on the environmental scenario. There was some modeling work that was done in 2005 and also on soybean. Again, the work with Pioneer, Tom Sinclair, and others who have quantified not only the water-saving benefits, but also of the yield benefits that would result from that. We're working on that. So we tried to make sure. So those guys, we selected those guys, the 143 double haploid line, so that they would flower in the narrow window of 3 days. So that We're trying to figure that out. It's there's some effect. We would like to work on Newtons and see what extent this relates to the hydraulics, stuff like that. We can imagine that because phenology controls development, and maybe there's some developmental control of hydraulic traits. Why not? So that might be some link there. Yeah, that's true. So based on these results, it's hard to investigate that. We did some experiments. This is censorship. We did some experiments on other cultivars, and we did experiments on historic wheat cultivars, and we measured the transpiration response to VPD, and those historic cultivars were released between 1890 to 2008, and we've seen some correlation between the year of release and the change of the second slope. So that's my way of telling is that increases. So there is a trade-off to decreasing transpiration at high VPD, but the increase of the second slope is related to yield increases. So obviously that trade-off is key to the benefits of from those water-saving traits.